that was all about. And go to Job 42. Job 42. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. Job 42. I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. When I was reading that just now, I remembered a scripture over in Psalm 139. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. And that's a scripture teaches us that there's no way we can understand God. And if he is God, how could we understand him? Amen. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in the dust of ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord sent Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. I underlined all the my's. My servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering and what? My servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. And Eliphaz the Temite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Nemanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the, and I want you to underline that next word, captivity. Where did we see anything about captivity? What happened to Job? He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his servants. He lost his house. He lost his own health. Where does captivity get into that? What do you mean, captivity? What does Satan do to us? Hold us captive. Michael, the great archangel, was on his way to do something for God because Daniel was praying to him, remember? And what happened? Couldn't get to him. Why? He was captive by Satan. Satan held him back and he couldn't get around him. Oh, he's a sly old fox. He's a terrible, 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 terrible thing. And he wants to destroy us. And he wants to take everything that's good away from us and cause all things to be bad. All good things, all perfect gifts come from God. And Satan wants to ruin us. He wants to ruin our families. He wants to get our fathers to question God's ability and God's authority. He wants the wives to question the authority in the home, and he wants the children to question all authority. And what happens? Tell me, is it good? Is it enjoyable when those things are going? Absolutely not. Man, when things are all going good and everybody's happy, we're happy. But all of a sudden, somebody throws that wrench into the gears, and we got trouble, don't we? Would to God that we were really careful and understand the captivity of Satan. God said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he... listen to this now. Now, remember now, I'm trying to wrap my head around Job, right? I'm trying to get my brain around the book of Job. I want to see what really makes him tick. And God said, he turned the captivity of Job. Now, the next word is what? When. What's when mean? What kind of word is when? Huh? What's the word of when? Come on, English student. What does when mean? Huh? When? There had to be an action before it, right? I mean, something had to happen. And then we have when he prayed for his friends. Now, most of us, we'd be praying all right. Well, God kill them. God just destroy them. God take that away from them. God make them be miserable. That's not what happened, did it? It said, the Bible said, that when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Boy, that just blows. I'm going like, you know, the dandruff is flowing off my hair. My hair is flying out. My hair is standing on end. I get the shivers. I'm like, what in the world? I don't understand this. So I read it over again and read it over again and read the book over again. I think I found something for you. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to understand that sometimes people get bitter and they end their life like that. They get put out by God, quote unquote. And it's not God, it's Satan. Satan put them in captivity. But when we really see that it is God who is doing the work, and it's not about us, it's about Him and His work and His glorious magnificence, we find the key that opens up the lock to the mysteries of life. We may not understand them, but we certainly can trust God in it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I hope you pray with me tonight. Anytime you talk about Satan and devil into hell, there's always something crazy going on. People move around. People get up and around, try to take your mind off things. Job answered the Lord and said, verse 1. Here we have Job's confession, and thank God his restoration. Job acknowledges God's greatness. If you read all the 42 chapters, you find that he's got a pretty good idea who God is until God comes to him and tells him who he really is. Throughout his speech, Job has frequently asserted the majesty of God, which is good, amen. But now he has a new view of it, which turned awe into reverence and fear into adoration. Job adores God. Job is still under the influence of being so sick. Really sick unto death. He's hurting. But he still sees something. He sees the light at the end of the tunnel. It reminds me of a fella. He said, the other day I about to get killed. He said, my dad said, always look in the tunnel to see the light tunnel and singing train came through, amen. It was very common fault to be confident. It's a very common fault for us to be confident. And to match our little knowledge in the wonders of the universe, I hear a lot of people chirping about how they know everything about everything. says, which I knew not. Verse 3 there. Behold, we know not anything is man's truest wisdom. All do we get, less we know. All do we get, the more is out there to find out. The other day I was cleaning one of my weapons and I couldn't get it up back together. Thank God for the internet. I pushed on it. When I was taking it apart, there's a spring on this 1911 that is under 16 pounds of pressure. And if you go to my house today, and yes, I would do it in the living room, I open up and I have my glasses up, praise the Lord, but you've never experienced anything like that in your life. All my other weapons don't have that like that, but that one does. And I was quite an experience. And first of all, I had to find that stinking thing. And after I found it, I seen the paint on it. And I looked up there, and sure enough, it went so fast, I didn't even know where it went. Amen. But sometimes we think we know everything. And we just, I know one thing, you never force anything. You're working on a weapon, you never force it. You never shove it down hard. It'll come apart. But that baby really came apart, amen. At the beginning, Job has some humbleness before God here now. A great chance has passed over his spirit. A great change. His spirit has changed from the time that things began to the time that chapter 42. At the beginning, he sought to vindicate himself. And you can read it as his buddies came and talked to him. And, well, actually, they were there 7 days, didn't say a thing for him. And he vindicated himself. And to change God and to charge God with strangeness and mysteriousness in his ways, and now he chooses to repent in dust and ashes before the holy God, and even abhors himself and abhors his boldness and abhors his impatience. God's condemnation of Job's friends, we see now. The friends that Job had not spoken the things that were right of God and God's ways. They came in like they knew everything. And they pointed their finger at Job and they said, Job, if you would have just done this, and Job, you weren't right this here, and Job, this is God getting back to you. Let me just kind of pull over and park here. Something's happened to some people that it is not obvious. And when you start pulling the trump card and when you start mouthing and chirping off about why they're like they are, I'd be very careful about that. Yeah, I know why he is. No, you don't. Is there anything wrong with Job? Hey, let me read to you about Job. Chapter 1. Verse 1, it says about Job, and that man was perfect, upright, loved that, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Boy, there's a lot of people out there to try to judge, amen. Let me tell you something. Leave it alone, Dwayne. You remembered my story. Leave it alone. God is the judge of all things. God judges. It is not our responsibility. I understand things happen in our home. As a father, it is our responsibility to judge our children in our home and making sure that they walk close to the Lord God. And when they don't, we have to apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning and to try our hardest to rule our family well. Make sure that we're there and doing things. But we ought to be very careful when we get out of our area of justice. Your area of justice is not Bob Wilson. Your area of justice is your own home. Bob Wilson is the area of justice of his own home. Unfortunately, or fortunately, my area of justice is everybody that walks in this building. It's my responsibility as your pastor. And I'll try my hardest to do everything I can and pray for you and encourage you and pat you on the back and give you a kick in the seat once in a while. I'll try everything I can to get you to serving God. But some people take on too much. God said, am not I the judge? And they were judging him. And God said, you have judged and said things that are not right, you guys. And I'm upset with you. They ascribed a mechanical severity on his administration of human affairs. This is how God does it. They know nothing about it. In addition to that, they had shown their, the spirit of arrogancy. Showed the arrogant spirit. Here's a guy who's almost dying. Help me! I don't need you to come and cuss me. I need you to come and say, hey, I love you, brother. Can I help you? Can I wash your feet? Can I bring you some water? Hey, let God take care of it. God is a judge. But they wouldn't do it. And so God reproved them and ordered that they should prepare a burnt offering of 7 bullocks and 7 rams to offer for their sin in front of Job. God wants you to know that he's the judge. God wants you to know, let God be the judge. Quit taking God out of the equation. Well, I'll take care of him. I'll show you how to take it. Okay, where's your area of justice? Well, I just know better. You'll see a lot of churches getting fired up about a pastor of a certain church. If that pastor, let's say Fairview has some problem, or let's say Temple Baptist has some problem, it's not Heritage Baptist Church's problem. We're a local, independent, autonomous, local church. We take care of our own business. We got a problem here, we take care of it. Don't take it over there, and don't let them come over and take it over here. We ought to be praying for those that are having problems. Amen. I want you to see Job's abundant prosperity. Great and prospered, and Job had been before his affliction. He was still greater and more prosperous afterwards, and God gave him twice as much as he had before. We see Job's confession and restoration. I'm kind of going around at this, kind of chasing a couple things, but I want you to get it. This passage sets before us the result of Jehovah coming into communion with Job. And you cannot come in with communion with God, with Jehovah, unless you come to him. The result, Job got some new knowledge. He had a new honor, a new respect of God, new knowledge. Not new in the fact exactly, but new in his appreciation for them. He knew about them, but wow, he saw them. It was not so much the knowledge that God is, as that he is omnipotent and wise in his providence. Every revelation of God to our heart has for its content above the fact that God exists and the fact that his character. God has never shown off. God has never shown to us except with his attributes. We see what he is doing. We see what he's done. The knowledge came from Job because he suffered. There are some things that you'll never get unless you have to go through the darkest valleys of death. You'll never get it. When Job sees God, he learned of his attributes, the Q attribute, which he had questioned and which he would naturally want to know was, is God just? Why is this happening to me? Today I saw in the newspaper it says, why the drought? I'd like to write in the newspaper, well, when there's no rain during the Israeli time, it was because of their sodomy, it was because of their immorality, because of their drunkenness. Boy, you write that in the paper. No, they won't. They won't print it. That's why we're having it. Don't kid yourself. We live in a wicked, wicked, wicked world. When God shows himself to us, we are satisfied, even though he does not show that part of himself which we sometime want to see. But he got new knowledge, not of God. He got new knowledge of himself. When you go through troubles, when you go through heartaches, when you go through sorrows, it all of a sudden begins to show who you really are. What can break you? The thing that will break you shows how tough you are. The thing that will stop you is that's what you're made of. The things that you quit. Oh, there's a lot of times I like to quit. You remember I told you this morning that he did not speak with his lips? You remember? There's a lot of things in here that goes on. Today I had a little relapse. Took my wife out to eat and took these wonderful people out to eat. And when I got in the car, I was backing up and here come a young couple out of the Golden Corral. And they were laughing and skipped to Lou, my darling, out of there. And then here come another couple, and I thought to myself, I'd sure like to do that one more time. God teaches you some things. And then I came home and I was so thankful and so blessed and told my wife I loved her so much and gave her a kiss and laid her down for a nap. He says frankly that what he had been talking about, this is what Job said. All the things he talked about, the three guys, he says, talked to him, told him about God, he says, I was ignorant. I was ignorant of God. All along, Job had been discussing God with his friend upon two assumptions, that he was able to know all about him and that he did know all about him. He now finds that he's mistaken in both. How difficult it was to know ourselves, even negatively. A sight of the infinite holy convicts us of sin, and we learn what we are by contrast of something else. In connection with Job's new knowledge, there came a new state of heart. Change his heart. He was willing to have his questions unanswered by God. Is it okay? I'm okay with that. All thoughts of the vexing problem of suffering now seem to be forgotten. You know, you can fuss and complain and gripe about all the troubles you got, but after a while, number one, people don't care. They got their own troubles. All of us have enough troubles. You don't need any of my troubles. I definitely don't need your troubles. The other day somebody said, hey, you're fat. And I said, you're ugly. I can lose weight. No, I didn't say that. It is kind of funny, though. Isn't it? The appearance of God brought to Job the rare virtue of humility. We cannot truthfully say that from then on Job had shown an excess of virtue. We can't say that. We don't know that. We would figure it did. Now he sees that the attitude of mind out of which his bold words, Godward, had arisen and were unbecoming one who was but a creature. Who are we to say anything about God? How can we say God's not fair? How can we say that? Well, I'm just a creature. I had a little kid in our church all the time. He said, hey, creature. I think his parents told him to say that. We're just creatures. Who am I to come before a holy God and question the Almighty? Job even told his wife, he said, "You're like a foolish woman. Shall a man only get good from God and not get evil? Are you kidding me?" It is no mark of greatness to fancy oneself infallible. To acknowledge a mistake is a sign of progress. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me about how they were snow skiing, and they'd fall down, and the lady said, "I never fall down." I said, "You're not much of a skier. Because if you're really learning, you're falling down. You're falling down all the time. It looks like a garage sale after you get done." Or you rip your ACL or whatever. Job goes beyond humility to repentance. He says that dust and ashes are the best exponent of the state of his mind. And he just throws dust and ashes over him. Repentance is open to any man who thinks. Do you hear that? Repentance is open, Charles Spurgeon said, to any man who thinks. No one, not even righteous Job, needs to hurt long for reason for repentance. He repented. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't take long. God, I am guilty. God, forgive me. Here's some results that show outwardly of Job's coming into connection with God. His misfortunes were reversed. I've heard so many people say, "The things I went through, I would not give you. I wouldn't take $1 million, but I wouldn't give you a plug nickel go through it again." Things happen in our lives that teach us a lesson. Just wish some of us would write it down and keep it, amen. We cannot infer from this that God will always literally restore earthly prosperity for those who are afflicted by the loss. This world is not about me. The world is about God. For His kingdom, for His kingdom's sake, to raise up God. It's not us. We're not here to people to bow down to us. We're not here to get people to appreciate us. We're here to get people to appreciate God. Amen. We're not to infer that the Lord's hand is shortened, but He chooses His own ways. It's not my business what God does. Have you ever had a kid ask you something, "What are you doing that for, Dad?" And you want to say, "It's not your stinking business. It has nothing to do with you." I'll tell you what's going to happen. Have our carpenter look at that this week, amen? The smoke is clogging it up, I think. Our father, let's say our earthly father, is doing things that we have no idea what needs to be done as a child. And Dad's got it taken care of. Let me tell you something. When you get about 60 and your children are about 30, they start telling you what needs to be done. And I go, "What was that?" "Oh, yeah, they will." It's an incredible, incredible thing when somebody's telling me, 68 years old, how I ought to do something. The only thing is, you can't run after them and beat them. You're running out of wind. Who am I to question God? Who are you to question God? God transformed Job's sorrow into joy. sometimes or somewhere, he will do the same for us if we are his. It may be largely in this life, as in the case of Job, that the area of vision has been enlarged by our blessed Lord, who brought life and immortality to light. Job was able to be of service, listen now, not himself, but he's of service to his friends. Job was angry against his three friends. God coming to Job was a means of him being a blessing to others. It is so with ourselves. It's not about you. It's about you. Are you getting it? What happened? What changed the captivity of Job?
You better turn that off, because somebody will think there's a mountain lion outside or a bear or whatever. By the way, I saw a bear coming home yesterday. And poor old Mr. Jojo was on that side. I said, Roy, look at there. An old big old bear. He's probably about 400. Big old guy. Hardly had any legs. So those big ones have any legs. He's a clink, 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 clink. I'd been praying that God would show me something. But I was praying for Jojo and she didn't get it. But Roy did, and he poured it on. Here's some general lessons. In the conclusion of the book of Job, it shows to us the mercy of God. God sometimes seems unmerciful, but it is only seeming. The troubles and trials that Job went through, did God recoup his losses? Job's questions remained unanswered, didn't they? Why did this happen to me? I don't see any place in there that God told him why. Did you see anything here that Job said that he found out that God said, okay, Satan, go ahead? I don't see that. Job's question remains unanswered. The mystery of providence is unsolved, and it may be in your life. Why do I have this? Why did my child have that? Why did I lose this baby? Why did I lose all those babies? Why this? Why that? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and His perfect will to glorify Him. And when I grab the ball and I run with it, and boy, people are after me, I'm doing it for myself. I found out when I was playing football that I didn't like people chasing me because they wanted to hurt me. They wanted to pound me. And so I ran lickety-split as fast as I could, brother. But in life, we don't understand why these things are going. What did you hit me for? Why did you do that to me? Why did you say that to me? Why did that? Oh, boy. Job's questions remain unanswered. The mystery of providence was unsolved, yet Job was satisfied. There's the answer right there. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with God? Things happen to you, and by the way, they will. Are you satisfied, and you trust in God in this thing? You say, but I don't understand it. That's not the point. It was better for him to have Jehovah reveal himself of his glory to him than to know all things that he wanted to know. There is something better than knowledge, something for which knowledge would not be substitute, and that is the peace of the soul in fellowship with God. I know I'm right with God. Amen. You're going to face some things. Some of you already have faced some things. You're going to face some things in your life. I think Austin, he's going to face some things in his life. Was it 22nd? 22nd, he's going to go to the Air Force Academy. Boot camp. I know your daddy can tell you a bunch of stuff. I know Brother James can tell you a bunch of stuff. And I know Charles and a bunch of you other guys can say, hey, this is what's going to happen. It's okay to tell us this is going to happen, but they ain't going to be there.
You know who's going to be there, Austin? You and God. You and God. And the troubles come, and the sorrows come, and the questions come. Don't ever give up on God. Oh, they'll be mean to you. They'll curse you out. They'll do everything they can to get you to quit. I know you're a man. You're going to do it. And you just hunker down. You go ahead. There's some kids that are in high school right now facing some crazy stuff. There's some kids even in junior high, and there's some kids in elementary facing stuff they've never faced before. Well, let me tell you something. The question is going to be there, why has this happened to me? Should that be our question? Hey, our question is, dear God, where are you at? Get me through this thing. The supreme lesson in this sublime book is that joy comes through submission to God, happiness. For a human soul is not in conquest, but is being conquered. Not exaltation, but humiliation. I don't need to be the man of the hour. All I need to do my job and what I'm supposed to do. I want you to look at 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Turning Job captivity. Since God is immutable, he acts always upon the same principles, and hence his course of action in the older times to a man of a certain sort will be guide as to what others may expect who are of like character. God does not act by caprice, nor by fits, nor by starts. We are not all like Job, but we all have Job's God. I'm not like Job, and I don't want to be like Job. I'd be squalling and screaming like a little girl. Though we have neither risen to Job's wealth, nor will probably sink to Job's poverty, yet there is the same God above us if we be high, and the same God with his everlasting iron beneath us if we be low. That encourages me. I'm not preaching a sermon for you. I'm just preaching the sermon to me to remind me that there's a God in heaven that loves me and cares for me. It is not my desire to have to clothe and feed and clean. That's not my desire of life. But it is God's perfect plan for my life, and I must understand that to know. I don't understand why, but I do know one thing. God has never put anything in my way that I cannot recover from it. I see some of you go through surgery. I think Sherry go through surgery on their hip, and that just, wow. Well, you seem like you're recovering. I thought you were going to come up and preach her. If therefore we are brought low tonight, let's be encouraged with the thought that God will turn again our captivity. And what's so bad about heaven? What's so bad about heaven? Grandma's 98 and she said, children, let me go. No, Grandma, don't die. Are you kidding me? We spend so much time praying for 98-year-old Grandma that we pray for our next-door neighbor that's going to go burn in hell. Let me go. Just leave me alone. Let me go. We get so selfish, don't we? Heaven's a good place. What's wrong with heaven? And let us entertain the hope that after the time of trial shall be over, we shall be richer, especially in spiritual things, than ever before. That's what we're looking for. I'm going to be richer. You say, money? No, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm telling you, the more you go through things, the more grit and determination you have for God. Say, you know what? He took care of me back here. He'll take care of me up here. I remember my wife and I were first married and took that first church. I was 22 years old, just turned 23. And we had a $100 loan to pay, and I was working three jobs. And, man, the church had nothing, and they were paying me $20 a week. And a good night. I didn't know which way to go. And I'm on my knees. I said, dear God, I don't know what you're doing with me. I know you sent me here, but you got to take care of us. I got a loan down there, and I want to be a good testimony. By the way, you should pay your debts. Get on my bicycle, head downtown. Here's an old guy named Ray Reynolds. Hey, Reverend! He's parked right by the railroad track next to the two granaries. Two big granaries. He said, how you doing? I said, doing all right. He said, I want to tell you something. Did you hear about soybeans? I said, yeah. I said, I heard about soybeans. They had jumped from $5 a bushel to over 20. And he said, you know what? I didn't realize it, but I had 2,000 bushel in this granary. And they just told me, said, hey, Ray, you better sell them things. They're over $20 a bushel. He said, man, happy day, happy day. I said, man, I'm crying for you. He said, would you mind if I give you some money? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard anybody say to a Baptist preacher. And I said, that'd be nice. He whipped out three brand new $20 bills. That's three bushels of grain right there, amen. And he said, tear came down my eye. He says, what's the deal? I said, I'm so blessed. Thank you so much. Oh, he said, let me give you another one. And then I started really crying. No. So I got 80 bucks in my billfold. I got on my bicycle. I got to ride my bicycle more. I thought if I rode my motorcycle, I'd get more money. But anyway, got on my bicycle, and all of a sudden, here comes another guy. Bill Smith and Stubb Smith. Still, Stubb was an old bachelor, and Bill was they're old farmers up there. And just, hey, Reverend! I said, hey. He said, boy, that was some wind we had. I said, yeah. He said, boy, a bunch of our oak trees are knocked down. He said, do you know anybody who knows how to run a chainsaw? I said, man, I grew up on a chainsaw. He said, you know how to run one? I said, yeah. He said, how'd you like to come out and help us? I'll pay you. I said, I'll go with you. And I jumped in the truck and went out there, and no, did I cut the tree down? They fed me. Ooh, man. Bill Smith's wife, she was a blue ribbon cook, I'll tell you what. And got done, and afterwards says, hey, we'll take you back in town. Here's 20 bucks. Did you hear what I said? 80 and 20 more makes 100. I came back, my wife's on her knees, sword and clothes. And I threw 1, 20, 2, 20, 3, 20, 4, 20, 5, 20s. And she said, what'd you do right in the bank? She, her eyeball was about that big. I said, no, honey. I told her. And we cried and hugged each other. And I got up, walked down to the bank, and paid my loan off. Let me tell you something. God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. I learned that at 22. Let us entertain the hope that after the time of trial shall be over, we shall be richer, especially spiritually richer. Talks about the captivity. That is a very remarkable expression, captivity. It does not say God turned his poverty, though Job certainly was reduced to extreme poverty. We do not read that the Lord turned his sickness, and though he was covered with sore boils. A man may be very poor and yet not in captivity. His soul may sing among the angels when his body is on the dunghill and dogs licking his sore. Man may be very sick, yet not in captivity. He may be roaming a broad field of covenant of mercy, though he cannot rise from his bed. Captivity is bondage of mind, and iron entered into his soul. I suspect that Job was under severe mental trial, which attended his body pain, was as his spirit like a man bound hand and foot in fetters. I mean that together with the troubles and trials to which he was subjected, he had lost somewhat the presence of God. Much of his joy and comfort had departed. The peace of his mind was gone. He could only follow the occupation of a captive. That is, to be oppressed and weep and claim compassion and pour out the dolorous complaint. Poor Job! He is less to be pitied for his bereavement, for his poverty, for his sickness, than for the loss of the candle of the Lord which was once shone upon his head. Touch a man in his bones, touch a man in his flesh, and yet he may be exalted. But touch him in his mind, let the finger of God be laid upon his spirit, and then indeed he is in captivity. The Lord can deliver us out of spiritual captivity very speedily. Some feel everything except what they want to feel. They enjoy no sweetness in the means of grace, and yet for all the world they would not give them up. They used to at one time rejoice in the Lord. And now they cannot see his face and cannot at the utmost can say, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." That's what Job said. "Oh, that I might know where I might find him." Therefore, mark well the cheering truth. God had turned your captivity and turned it once. Some God's children seem to think that to recover their former joy must occupy the long period of time. It's true that if you had to work your passage back where you came from, be a weary voyage. He will vouchsafe you to the conscious enjoyment and his presence on the same term of the fast as this, on the term of free and sovereign grace. Did you not at all that know at all time admit that he was your Savior to your soul, because you could not do without him? Is it not a good reason to receive him as your personal Savior? Was there anything in you that received him that you could commend you for you? Say, were you not all over defilement and full of sin and misery? And yet you opened the door and said, "Lord God, come in with your free grace. Come in. I trust you, or I perish." Having begun to live the grace, wouldst thou go to live the works? Well, do I know that it is to feel the wondrous power of God to turn away from captivity? Absolutely. When I got saved, it was gone. My captivity was gone. I knew I was free from my sins. I knew that I was going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord does not take days and months and weeks and hours to work revival in our soul, but he lit it up in an instant, a single word. "Hey, I'm done with this. I'm going to trust God." That's revival. Amen. That's repentance. I'm not going to do this anymore. He can do the same in our temporal captivity. Now, I address some of you friends who the great suffer through some very hard losses. The Lord can turn your captivity. When Job had lost everything, God really gave him all back. Yes, you say, but that was a very remarkable case. Let me tell you something.
God is no respecter of person. And he immediately do it for you. If you consider the matter, you will see that it's quite a remarkable thing that Job should lose all his property. And he got it all back. If you would have walked over Job's farm at first, you'd seen the animals and you'd saw the cattle. If you'd gone into houses, you would see his furniture and the grandeur of its state. And if you'd gone to his children's houses, you'd seen the comfort which they lived in. You would have said, why? This is one of the most best established men in the land of Uz. I've heard of his great fortune collapsing, but then they were built on speculation. They were just paper. No, it wasn't paper. It was oxen and sheep and camels and land. You can't melt that in the air. Job had a good, substantial estate. I cannot believe that ever he will come to poverty. Money's pretty fleeting. Man, you may have the buck today, but it can go. It has wings, brother. It has wings. Boy, when you think everything is good and everything is going good, all of a sudden, this breaks and that breaks and this goes wrong and this takes off and you got this and you got to go there and you get this and the doctor tells you got to have this. And I tell you what, it didn't take long. It's gone. Did not God always say that judgment is his strange work? When the Lord went about to enrich his servant Job again, he went about that work, as we say, heart and soul. He was doing then what he'd like to do. God's happiness is never more clearly seen than when he distributing the largeness of his love. Why can you not look at your own circumstance in the same light? The Lord can turn the captivity to any man. You may apply the truth to thousands of different things. Maybe some of you in your Sunday school class is not growing like you wish it would. Well, go to God. Ask Him to change it. I hear some ministers, they've plowed long and sowed in vain. The Lord can turn that captivity. You wives have been praying for your husbands. Your fathers have been pleading for your children and have seen no blessing yet. The Lord can turn your captivity into respect. In Job's case, I have no doubt that the Lord turned his captivity as far as the Lord was concerned, because of the grand experiment which was tried on Job. Now it's over. The suggestion of Satan was that Job was selfish in his piety. That he found honesty to be the best policy, therefore he was honest and godly. Godliness was gain, and therefore that's why he was godly. That's what Satan said. The devil generally does one or two things. One, sometimes he tells the righteous that there is no reward for their holiness. And then they'll say, surely I have cleaned my heart in vain and washed my hands of innocency. Young ladies that keep their bodies pure, Satan wants to tell you that it's not worth it. You're missing out all the fun. See, he wants to tell you young men that still have your virginity, still have your honor. God says women lose their virginity, men lose their honor. And Satan says, it ain't worth it. Everybody's doing it now. Everybody's, hey, you don't do that way. Or else Satan tells them that they only obey the Lord because they have a selfish eye to be rewarded. God puts his servants sometimes into experiments that he may test them, that Satan himself may know how true-hearted God's grace has been to them, and the world may say how he had played the man.
Well, let me tell you something. It's not about you, and it's not about me. Let me illustrate that. A good engineer, if he builds a bridge, they are glad to have a train of enormous weight go over it. I am sure that if any of you had invented some implement requiring strength, that you would be glad it had been tested and the amount of a successful trial published abroad. This held 20 million ton. What's the engineer say? Yeah, I told you. And he cursed it. When things happen to us, we get a hangnail, we're griping. Do your worst or do your best. It is a good instrument. Do what you like with it. So the maker of the genuine article is accustomed to speak, and the Lord seems to say the same concerning his people. My work of grace in them is mighty and thorough. Test it, Satan. Test it. World, test it by bereavement, by losses, by reproach. And my brother will endure. That sister will endure. See, we don't like this kind of stuff. We try to go underneath the radar. We try to dodge it. We try to hide from it. We are God's. What do you think the Lord says about the death of a saint? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. And God says, there he is, coming home. Oh man, that old boat may be tattered and worn, and the sails may be ripped, and the bark half off, but he's sailing home. Sailing home. I will endure every ordeal. And when it is tested and bared it, the Lord turns the captivity of his people and of the experiment is complete. Most probably there was, in Job's character, some fault from which his trials was meant to purge. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of things God is working on this old preacher. A lot of things. I'm going, oh yeah, maybe that's not the way I ought to do things. Oh yeah, maybe that's not the way I ought to be thinking. Oh yeah, maybe I ought to be tending more time to other people than myself. God's using that to purge me. And that does not happen. I don't get to become more, I guess, purer or whatever. Oh, don't worry, folks. He's got a lot to work on. Amen. If he erred at all, probably it was Job having a somewhat elevated idea of himself and a stern manner towards others. He may have had that, what they call the elder brother spirit, perhaps have entered into him, where through the light of trials and yet greater light of God's gracious presence, Job saw himself unveiled. He had abhorred himself in dust, and he adorned himself in dust and ashes. You see, the trial had reached its point and evidently been blessed of Job, and it had proved to Satan that he was a liar. And so now the fire of the trial goes out. And like precious metal, the patriarch came forth from the fiery furnace as pure gold. You see, our nature is kind of like a good deal like horses that need to be broken. And you can kind of use this as a spiritual simile. We are the bullocks unaccustomed to the yoke. Well, the horse has to go through certain processes in the manage until he last is declared to be thoroughly broken in. How many have ever been around training horses?
Oh, my goodness, what a mess. You talk about a rodeo. But after a while, he learns that it's better to be broken than to be a wild steed. You and I are not yet quite broken yet, I'm afraid. Sometimes, again, trials may cease when we learn the lesson which was intended to teach you at the point of the gospel. It is enough. I have taught my child a lesson, and I'll let him go. Some of you are seeing your children. You have to keep at them, and finally, you figure you can trust them. God's like us. I think, too, that maybe some of us that God gives trouble until we obtain a sympathetic spirit. I'll be honest with you. I just deplore lateness. If there's anything I hate and I disdain, when I was in college, I also was going to get a job with a company. And I went through a whole bunch of training, and one of the training was about when one person is late 1 minute and you have 120 people there, you have taken and stolen from my country an hour and a half, 2 hours, 1 minute. My dad said, if you're not on time, be 10 minutes early. I just disdain it. I see people coming into church, they're late, and I'm going like, good night, can't they get up a little earlier? Well, the things I got to do with it, why are they late? Sometimes God gives us troubles so we are sympathetic and their heart is tender, that we've never been touched at that before. The rest of you are late just because you're late. Shame on you. But anyway, if one of be a comforter to others, he must know the sorrows and the sickness of others. We talk about having sympathy. I don't want sympathy. I want someone to come to me that has empathy. That's why I love Pastor Rudy so well. He understands that empathy. The other day, we're standing at the deal, and one of our ladies was talking about losing her baby, and Miss Moffat came over there, and she says, I did too. And you could just see the empathy. You don't get that unless you understand it. In Job's case, the Lord turned his captivity when he prayed for his friends. Prayer for ourselves is blessed work, but for a child of God, it is a higher exercise to become an intercessor and to pray for others, and pray for ourselves is good, but that just touches our selfishness. But prayer for others delivers them from our ingratitudes. That believers shall be no losers, for their God's experiment took Job all that he had, and the end gave him back twice as he had. If a man should take away silver and later bring twice the weight in gold, I think we'd all be thankful, amen? Yeah. And so if the Lord takes away our temporal pleasures, and our best friends, and gives us spiritual, he thus gives us 100 times more than he took away. You never lose anything by what you suffer from God. If Christ's sake you are persecuted, you shall receive in this life your reward. But if not, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You shall not lose anything by God's afflicting you. You shall for a time be an apparent loser, but a real loser is the one who ends up to never be. We serve a great master. And if he chooses to try us for a little, we can bear our trials cheerfully, for God will turn our captivity ere long. So we have a drama here. The drama starts out with a man who is just and perfect, who eschews evil. In fact, God even says about this man that he is just. He calls him my servant many times. But the thing that I found out, I don't know if you found this out, but the thing I found out, it wasn't about Job, it was about his three friends that got him back what God had taken, allowed to be taken away. And there's so many of us always thinking about ourselves. And I said, Lord, I don't understand this. What's going on here? And I finally realized, it's not about me. And the trials and heartaches that we are allowed to go through, becomes our pleasure. What am I here for? Drives me crazy when people say, oh, brother, sure, I'm just so proud of you and everything, you know, and I say, you have no idea. I promised her daddy and mama, I promised her brother, I promised her sisters that until death do us part. That's what we're supposed to do. Somebody told me, he says, you know, you'd be better off just put it down in a certain place. And I won't say it because he's listening to me. And I said, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? He said, but how can you live? I don't know. I didn't know that was my responsibility. My responsibility is do the things of God. If this takes, if for you, if all this is for you, I'm satisfied. It's not the same. But greater is He that is in me than He's in the world. And He will allow me through these things. And I hesitate even to say these things because I don't want you to get the wrong idea that I am Mr. Super Christian. I don't have a big C on my chest. Like Sheldon has a big S on his chest for Superman. I don't have that. I am just an old country boy that I have told the Lord I will go wherever He wants to go. I will not gripe where He sends me. I will do everything I can in my power to work as hard as I can. And if this is where it's at, then this is where it's at. And I'm content. I'm content. These guys, God was ticked off at them. Those three brothers. We should read it. He was really upset with them. He was very upset with them. Here's the deal. When you're going through something, you don't need somebody else to come and help and encourage you to tell you how bad you are. You don't need that. You got enough trouble in your life. You don't need someone to come up and say, well, I know what you should have done. If you would have did this with your kid, if you'd done this with your girl, if you'd done that with your boy, and I hear it a lot, and I'm going like, are you out of your mind? Vengeance is mine, saith Lord, I will repay. It is God's job to judge, it's not mine. Oh, I know why you did that. I know why your daughter got this. I know why you're... I know why... No, you don't. Shame on you. Yep. No, you don't. I'm just asking you today. Let's just stand up and live for God. Let's just say, you know what, Lord? What comes, what comes, what comes, what comes. You going to change it? It is what it is. And just keep trusting the Lord. Don't lose heart on it. Don't give Satan the opportunity when he came before God the second time. He said, "Hey, that doesn't sound good. Looks like you're the devil." But anyway, I'll talk to this. Hey, you know what? Satan, you checked my old Job out? Didn't I tell you? Yeah, but skin for skin. You know what? I didn't hear of Satan coming back to God again at Job. You do what you can. You pray a fiery hedge about you. You do everything you can to serve God. Man, I preached too long. Let's stand and be dismissed. It's 7:44 for you wanting to know what time it was. We're still having eats over next door. You can eat some of them peanut butter. That'll give you strength, amen, from a great word. Hey, don't give up. Don't. Things are going to happen to you, and it's going to blow your mind. Don't you think it blew Job's mind when all these things started happening? Before that guy could even get done saying the next guy was coming. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. If you have that the rest of your life, it'll take care of you. Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight, troubles and sorrows are coming. I pray you to encourage them. Give them their heart's needs. Dear God, help us, Lord, to be content in whichever state we're in. And troubles and sorrows and heartaches. And Lord, just help us keep going. We're going to trust in this, Lord. Because you promised you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You promised us, Lord, that you would get us through these things. And so, Lord, we're just going to... Sometimes we get scared, we'll hunker down, but we ain't turning back. But we're going to keep going, serving you, do the best we can with what we have. Lord, you know the things that are in our way now, and the time is not the way it used to be, and the opportunities seem to be not as the way they were. But we do know, Lord God, you make no mistakes, and we're going to trust you in it. Lord, I pray you bless the food over next door. God, I pray for these folks that are weary and tired and heavy laden. Lord, that you give them rest. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.